Right now, we're watching the comings and goings in New York as the Trump transition team readies for more appointments and meets with the New York Times today. We're going to speak with NPR's David Folkenflik to catch up in just a minute.
Yeah, the president-elect is also conducting some business of his own, and that's raising red flags. Since Election Day, Trump has met with Indian real estate developers who have ties to Trump-branded properties. He's also met with a prominent British politician where the topic of wind farms came up, which could affect Trump's golf club in Scotland. Now, Trump has said he'll remove himself from the day-to-day operations of his global empire, but can he? Kevin Hall is chief economics correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers. Kevin, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you've gone through and you've counted just how deep Donald Trump's international business ties are. What did you find?
Well, we found that at least 120 of the 584 companies he's disclosed have chiefly international business as their mission.
And what's the significance of that?
Well, it suggests that his business entanglements are going to be much broader than people at first envisioned. Some of these companies were added during the campaign, for instance, in Saudi Arabia. It suggests that the conduct of foreign policy is going to be very open to potential conflicts of interest unless he completely divorces himself from his business.
Now let's dig into that, because there are some concerns as these stories come out. We have Ivanka Trump sitting in on the meeting with Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister. You have Donald Trump meeting with Indian businessmen who have ties to the Trump-branded property in India. You've now got this story that Trump met with Nigel Farage after the election and encouraged him to oppose these wind turbine projects in the UK. To a lot of people, this feels uncomfortable, but is he walking a dangerous line legally speaking?
Well, legally speaking, I think we're somewhat in uncharted territories. I do think that until he takes office, you could make an argument that, well, he's tying up his loose ends before he hands it off to either a blind trust or a family trust or however he's going to arrange it, but we really don't have a precedent for anybody who's had this sort of holdings. Mitt Romney might have had some of these same issues, but in terms of people who've been in office, it's been more holding investments. Like Dick Cheney had a lot of investments, and Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs guy, also had a lot of holdings that he did put in a blind trust.
Well, there's also this clause in the Constitution. Now, it is obscure, but people are talking about it now. It's called the Foreign Emoluments Clause. It says no person holding any office of profit or trust under the United States shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present of any kind whatsoever from a foreign state. That's some paraphrasing going on there. But do you see any potential for trouble there? You counted how many ties he had with foreign businesses. Are any of them controlled by foreign states?
Well, we don't know, frankly, how they're controlled. We know that the overwhelming majority of them, more than roughly 380 of them, are in Delaware. They're limited liability companies, which have to declare almost nothing in terms of their structure and their ownership structure. So, for example, we don't know on a lot of these overseas ventures whether or not his partners are actually co-owners. In a real technical way, a foreign owner would then have to file what's called an FBAR. It's an IRS form in which they would have to declare, even if they did not earn their profits in the United States, if they had an overseas business with Mr. Trump. The IRS might know that, but the rest of us wouldn't.
Mm. Well, Donald Trump tweeted today that prior to the election, it was well known that he had interest in properties all over the world. He said only the crooked media makes this a big deal. And Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway said this in the lobby of Trump Tower yesterday.
I'm very confident he's not breaking any laws. He has many lawyers, accountants, and advisors who tell him what he must do and what he can't do. And he's a businessman. He is also working in transition. He's the president-elect. And, you know, we're in unprecedented times.
And so, Kevin, you know, she has a point. You made it that we've never had a president that's been so linked to businesses in the way that Donald Trump is. Now, there is growing pressure for Trump to put his holdings in a blind trust. Is that going to solve his problems?
It depends on how you structure it. The way he's talked about it publicly doesn't sound like he's actually thinking about a blind trust. A blind trust would be completely divorcing himself from his assets, and his family wouldn't be involved in running his business either. He'd have somebody else basically tending to his business. And even then, you still wouldn't know whether or not decisions benefit him or hurt him. And, you know, a lot has been focused on how he might benefit, but the other part of this is how people who've co-invested with him or who have invested in projects that have his name on it, how that name now may work against them if his presidency doesn't work, or if there are any controversy with any of these host countries where he has properties. Then suddenly he could face lawsuits from people who claim they had bought into a property with his name on it and somebody's removed the name. He has the right to remove his name from buildings. So there's just a whole can of worms.
Is there a role that Congress is going to have to play here to help sort this out?
Hard to say. I mean, they're in the same boat. How do you distinguish what a conflict of interest is when you don't even know the structure of these companies? It's not like a publicly traded company, Apple or General Motors, where you've got quarterly reports and earnings reports. We know nothing about these companies, which is nothing illegal, they're privately held companies, but it just makes it that much harder to understand what a potential conflict would be.
We're in uncharted territory. Kevin Hall, chief economics correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers. Kevin, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us.